I want to talk to you this morning on a subject that I don't think I've ever dealt with quite so specifically. I have a good bit of scripture look at today, and how many of you don't know what time it is? Good for you. Good for you. I didn't either until a few moments ago. I looked down and I thought, oh Lord. And I thought, no, every other church in the county is out. But God's still working here. So we're just going to continue to yield to his, we just don't have a 60-minute God. Praise the Lord for that. And that's not to be disparaging on anybody else. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord that we serve. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit along those lines. In the past couple of weeks, I've had this experience on several occasions, and it comes to me that if you ask most church-going people and most professing Christians about their relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you ask somebody about their spiritual life, that the first thing you will get from most people is their denominational affiliation, or you will get an institutional kind of testimony. You'll get something like this: well, I'm proud to be a Baptist. And you say, well, would you tell me something about your relationship with Jesus Christ? I've been a lifelong Methodist. Tell me a little bit about your spiritual experience, about your spiritual life. My family has always been Episcopalian. I was born a Baptist. I married a Methodist. We moved next door to a Lutheran. Now we're going to an interdenominational church. I'm proud to be a member of the First Methodist Church. Or they'll tell you I'm a deacon, or I'm a Sunday school teacher, or I'm the president of the Women's Fellowship, or I'm the president of the Youth Fellowship, or whatever it is. I want to say to you today that denominationalism is man's idea, not God's. God never had in mind denominations. He did not ordain denominations. He does honor what denominations do, but he does not honor denominationalism. And whether you're a Nazarene or a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Church of God Foursquare Gospel, whatever is your denominational persuasion, none of that will recommend you in the courts of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 is the text we're going to use this morning. We're going to begin there and read nine verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, is the letter of 1 Corinthians written to the church? It is written to believers, is it not? As a matter of fact, the second verse says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This letter is written to people like you and like me, regardless of where we are, regardless of our background. If we are saints and sanctified by the sacrifice of Jesus, this instruction is for us. It is very clear. And how denominationalism got started using this Bible is beyond me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is very strong language, isn't it? I beseech you, brethren, and it's not I'm encouraging you, it's not I desire you, but I beseech you, I urgently ask you, and I am invoking the name of the Lord himself to let you know that this is a verily, verily. This is not some casual opinion that I hold, Paul says, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm beseeching you. What? That ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, in other words, they ratted on them, that there are contentions among you, there's strife among you, there are differences of opinion among you, and divisions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, or Peter, and I am of Christ. In other words, I am a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Yes, but I'm a Lutheran. Our patron saint is John Calvin. But our patron saint was John Knox. We follow Charles Wesley. We follow Kenneth Hagin. Amen. But we follow Jimmy Swaggart. But we follow Kenneth Copeland. Yes, but we follow Marilyn Hickey. Yes, we're Episcopalians. No, but I'm Lutheran. Things don't really change much, do they? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Was Kenneth Hagin crucified for you? Or John Calvin? Or Charles Wesley? Or Billy Graham? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Or of Peter? Or of Kenneth Copeland? Or of Marilyn Hickey? No. Or of John Calvin? Or John Knox? Or Zwingli? I thank God, Paul says, that I baptized none of you. Then you couldn't call your church, the Church of St. Paul the Divine. Amen. Paul would turn over in his grave if he saw some of what was going on. I did baptize Crispus and Gaius, but it's almost as if he's sorry he did, he said. Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. I didn't baptize in the name of Paul. I baptized also, he's thinking back here, and the Lord's bringing back to his remembrance. You can kind of see his spirit here. He says, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you. And then the Holy Ghost says, now, Paul, that's not really true. Now, you did baptize Crispus and Gaius, and also here he baptized the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, and I hope that... And I do pray that the Spirit of God will not bring any more back to my remembrance. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The church of Jesus Christ is one. It is not divided. The 10th verse says that there ought not to be any divisions among you. I know Baptists that won't talk to Catholics. I had a man in my office the other day who is, now this man is an unsaved man, but he was raised a Baptist. And now you understand this morning, if I say Baptist, I'm trying to spread it around because it, you know, there's a little egg on all of our faces and I don't want anybody to say, well, he really got down on the Baptist today. Because I'm not down on the Baptist. I'm down on the spirit of denominationalism. I don't care what label it has. I don't care if it has charismatic as a label. I'm down on that spirit, no matter what label it is. I believe in the charismatic experience, and I believe in the Pentecostal experience, and I believe in preaching the salvation of God, but I do not believe in Presbyterianism, Methodistism, Catholicism, Episcopalianism, Lutheranism, and all of the rest of the isms, the Pentecostalism or the charismaticism. I heard John Coth preach one day. I'm trying to think what he said. We need less isms and more itties. More itties. What did he mean by that? Christianity. That's it. We need more. That's it. Thank you, brother. You can see how well I prepared this message, can't you? He said we need less ism and more itty. And I believe he's right. He made such an impression on me, I forgot what he meant. But it did leave an impression on my heart. No divisions in the church, Paul said. That you ought to all speak the same thing. I tell you, I could go into most denominational churches and read 1 Corinthians 1:10 and get thrown out before I got to the end of the verse. Who ever heard that we could all speak the same thing? That's impossible, they would say. Well, then the Holy Ghost has commanded us to do the impossible. And of course, it is impossible. Jesus said it kind of like this one day when Peter said, well, Lord, when he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it would be for a rich man to enter heaven, a man who trusts in his riches to enter heaven. And the disciple said to him, well then, Lord, how is it possible for anybody to be saved? And you remember what Jesus said? With men, it is impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. This is another one of those things. Yes, it's impossible for men to speak the same thing, to be perfectly joined together, to have the same mind and the same judgment. But yet God commands His church to be that way. He commands His church not to have any divisions. In verse number 13, Paul asked the question, I can almost hear him screaming, is Christ divided? What is the matter with you fools? Do you think that Christ is divided? Why do you act like it? Why do you live like it? How can it possibly be? Think about what you're doing. I don't find one place in the New Testament church, I don't find any place in this New Testament where Presbyterians are mentioned. I don't find Catholicism mentioned. I don't find Pentecostalism mentioned. I don't find the Four Square Church mentioned. I do not find the Methodists or the Baptists or the Episcopalians or the Lutherans or the Nazarenes or any of them, the Brethren, the Mennonites. I'm trying to name as many as I know so that those of you who fit in those molds will realize that I'm not after you particularly today. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. When they talked about the church, they did not talk about the flavor of the church. They talked about the location of the church. He didn't describe the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Episcopalian church. What he said was the church at Corinth, the church at Cenchrea. He talked about the church at Jerusalem, the church at Antioch, the churches in Galatia, the churches of Macedonia, the churches of Asia, the churches that was in Priscilla and Aquila's house. He didn't call it Priscilla's church or Aquila's church, but it is the church. What church? It's the church of Jesus Christ that happens to be meeting in Priscilla and Aquila's house. But it's not divided, it's one church. And the believers that were part of the church at Cenchrea and the believers that were part of the churches in Asia and Galatia and Macedonia and Antioch and Jerusalem, they were all part of the one church. They just happened to live in a different place. Is Christ divided? God forbid that he should be divided. Paul talks about the churches of Christ in Romans 16:16. He addresses his letters to the Ephesians, to the saints which are at Ephesus. He did not address them to the Baptists that were at Ephesus, or the Presbyterians that were at Ephesus, or the Charismatics that were at Ephesus. He addressed it to the saints at Ephesus. Why? Because the Word of God is for all of the saints of God, for all of the churches of Christ, not for any one denomination. The minute that people think they've got a handle on it, and they're going to lock in around it, and we're the ones, and we're going to go, nobody else, I tell you, they have left God far behind. Or I should say it the other way, God has left them far behind. God's moving on. At its worst, this spirit of denominationalism is idolatry and it is demonically inspired. The church becomes more important than Christ. I have heard it said, I mean from their own mouths, this is a Presbyterian church and it will forever remain a Presbyterian church. And many of us said, well, if that's what you want, you can have it. We're going to have a church of Jesus Christ, and that's where Water of Life Christian Center was formed in 1977. You find a great many professing believers and church members that are serving the church, not the Lord. They're giving their time to the church. They're giving their money to the church. They are serving the church and supporting the church. They might as well call it the Kiwanis, because it's just a social organization and it's a social club, and they pull their resources and they pull their time, and we got to pull together in this thing so the church survives. Well, that kind of a church needs to go on and die. I mean, it would do the kingdom of God a great service. It would do its members a great service, and it would do its community a tremendous service. It would go ahead and dry up and make room for the true church of Jesus Christ. Do you say, Pastor, is the Water of Life Christian Center the church of Jesus Christ? It sure is a part of the church of Jesus Christ. I don't care what label a man has. If he's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I don't care what label he is. If he belongs to Jesus and if he's a saint of God, he's my brother, and we'll have fellowship together. But I abhor, and I know that the Spirit of God abhors, the idolatry, this demonically inspired idolatry that causes a man's denomination and a man's church to be more important than his relationship with Christ. Now, you know people like this, and I'm going to describe a person. You want to share something with a Baptist, let's say, out of the Word of God. What does he want to validate the Word of God? He wants something written by a Baptist. He looks at your tract to see if it's published by the Baptist Association. He wants to know if you've ever heard a Baptist preach it. And he will not receive it unless it comes from his denominational hierarchy. Now, that's a man who's worshiping his denomination, and that is idolatry. He has not got a relationship with God. At least that kind of a relationship is very tenuous and extremely dangerous. He won't receive anything unless it's denominationally approved. I run into that all the time and have for many, many years. That's a man who worships his denomination. There are those who are more concerned about their church, more concerned about their denominational history than about the Word of God. I know churches today where you would be hard-pressed to hear the Word of God taught or preached, but in most of the Sunday school classes, you will get a good dose of the history of our church. And they will tell you all about their John Calvins or their Charles Wesleys and their saints of old. There's nothing wrong with those men, and they did great works for God. But to put them in the place of the Lord, is Christ divided, he says? Was Paul crucified for you? Some of you say, I'm of Paul. Yes, I know, but I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Peter. He says, fully on all that stuff. Christ is not divided if you don't have Christ in your heart. If you're of Christ, if you're not of Christ, you are of nothing. It's a tragedy today, but I believe with all my heart that the devil has used this denominational spirit to bring those who are really earnestly seeking for Christ into a bondage before they could find him. And they thought they could substitute without realizing what they're doing. There are a great many churchgoers and professing Christians today who have substituted their denominationalism for their Christianity, and it will not get them into heaven. Who was it that wrote the song, just coming back to me now, about, was it the imperial? It's the one, Lord, give me just the words of it. It's about the Baptist that died, and he went to heaven, and he got to the gate, and they want to know about him, and he said, I'm a Baptist. And they sing, well, we don't have any Baptists here. Washed in the blood again. Yes, something along like that, yeah. Next week we'll learn the songs. We can sing it for you. And then the Pentecostal fella shows up, and he gets, well, I'm a Pentecostal, lifelong Pentecostal. My daddy was a Pentecostal. I was called to preach early. I'm sorry, we don't have any Pentecostals here. All we got is the washed in the blood believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have been born again. Are you one of them? If not, we've got no place for you. If you're going to get into heaven because you're a Baptist, you can forget it, because there's no ticket marked Baptist. There's only one ticket marked Christian, saved. Born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, trusting in him. There's only one church, beloved. There's so much confusion today. I believe the devil has used this to confuse earnest seekers, and they all want to know. Well, I want to know. We had a fellow come here one morning to fix the glass door. We had the door broke out here, the glass doors, one Wednesday night. The following morning, the glass repairman came. And when he walked in the door, and I let him in, and we were talking there, it wasn't a minute. He didn't even ask me about the glass. He wanted to have a copy of our doctrine. And I said, well, I'd be glad to give you one, but what are you looking for? Well, I'm trying to figure out. You know, I got the Baptist doctrine, the Methodist doctrine, the Lutheran doctrine. He rattled off a bunch of them. He said, I'm trying to figure out which one's right. I picked up a Bible off the stand. I said, this one's right. Now get this book and read this, and you will find what's right. See? People are looking in churches for the right answer, and they will not find it in the churches. They're going to find it. We'll find it in denominationalism. They're going to find it in the Word of God. They're going to find it in Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is none. At its worst, denominationalism and a denominational spirit is idolatry, and there are a great many people that are so bound by that spirit, you can't talk to them about Jesus. You can sit in a restaurant. Let me tell you something. You can sit in a restaurant, and you can have a couple of Methodists sitting behind you. You can sit there and you can curse and profane the name of Jesus all during your meal, and it won't bother them. But you begin to say something about the Methodist Church, about reading in the paper they're ordaining homosexuals and so on. Guy come across the table at you and put your lights out. Now you tell me what kind of a spirit that is. You can curse Christ all you want, but don't you speak against my denomination. I'm going to stand up and defend. Now you tell me what his God is. It's idolatry. It's idolatry. You say, modern day idolatry, Pastor? Yes. We hear about idolatry, read about idolatry in the Bible, and say, well, that's not a problem today because nobody has statues. You know, we don't make silver and gold statues. We have other kind of idolatry. We idolize our denominations, or we have four-door idolatries, you know, in the parking lot, or we have two-bedroom, three-bath models, you know, in our subdivisions and so on. We have all other kinds of idolatry. And denominationism is idolatry. But let's give some folks the benefit of the doubt. I want to express to you today that at its very best, I said it at its worst, denominationalism is idolatry. At its best, it is carnality. Now, if you still have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians there, turn over just a page or two to the third chapter, and let me read to you from this portion of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now, this is going to explain some things for you today. Starting at verse number 1. This carnality is manifested by, you know what, how many of you know what carnality is? Carnality is the opposite of spirituality. It is a manifestation of the flesh, natural things, things of the world. And denominationalism at its worst, I'm saying, is an expression of carnality. It is either accomplished in ignorance or voluntarily. And I, brethren, verse 1, chapter 3, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Denominational people do not get much meat. Do you know why? Because those that are bound by denominationalism are basically babies, spiritually. I didn't say it. The Word of God says it. If you're not sure about that, think about what I'm sharing with you this morning, and I believe God will give you understanding in all of these things. Paul said, I would love to write you as spiritual. There are many things I'd love to tell you. There's much revelation, things that God has shown me I'd like to tell you about, but I can't give you meat. I can only give you milk. Why? Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For where is, how is this carnality manifested? There is among you envying and strife. And what? Divisions. Wow. Are ye not carnal? Can't you see it yourself? Are ye not carnal, and don't you walk as men? For while one saith, I am a Baptist, and another, well, I'm a Catholic, are ye not carnal? Who then is Baptist? Who then is Catholic? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Baptist is nothing. Catholic is nothing. Christ is everything. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That is everything. Well, we go back to John Knox. I don't care who you go back to. If you don't go back to Jesus, you ain't gone back far enough. Amen. And Pentecostals are just as bad. And charismatics are getting just as bad. I've said to you from time to time, we're not going to trade one rut for another one. And we're not trading one denomination for another one. I am not anti those that belong to denominations, but I am against the spirit of denominationalism that divides the body of Christ and brings the people of God into spiritual bondage. I'll do anything in my power to break it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, oh, if we could get this into our denominational seminaries without being tarred and feathered. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Now, people that have this very strong denominational spirit, that's exactly what they're doing. They are glorying in men. I tell you something, if Jesus doesn't come, and I live a natural life and live out my natural span and go to be with the Lord, and by the way, I am going to go to be with the Lord. There is no question about that. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I know that that is where I'm going. I do not want a church that says, we're Big Rock Hill. If you do, you're going to dry up and blow away, for God won't honor that. One day I was praying, and the Lord began to speak to me, and It was back early in the ministry. One of the things that he said to me was this. He said, I want this church, this one right here, to be, listen to these words, distinctively Christian. Now think about that. Distinctively Christian. That's all. A Christian church. What you see going on right here is a lot of itty and not very much ism. This is Christianity in operation. Not denominational ism. Don't glory in them. For all things are yours. Whether Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran, the world itself or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and you're Christ's. Christ is God's. That's the important thing. Fourth chapter, fifth verse. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Everything you got from God. You didn't get it from your denomination if you got anything worthwhile. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now, if you're still following with me, would you please turn back to the book of Isaiah? And this is where I was reading yesterday in my... So I'm just reading through the Bible, and this was the passage for yesterday. And as I read it, I had never seen this quite before, but it just struck me. As I read in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, men make us to differ, beloved. Men cause divisions among us, beloved. The Spirit of God produces unity. That which produces division is of men. It's either idolatry or it's carnality. Both of them God's going to spew out of his mouth at the end. Second chapter of the book of Isaiah, I'm going to read two passages. The first passage, I want to read verses 2 and 3. This is what's going to happen in the future. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. All men, all denominations will flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, in Hebrews 12 says, Zion is the assembly of God, the church of the firstborn. Out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord, from Jerusalem. God's law is not going forth from the Catholic Church. God's law is not going forth from the Baptist Church. It's not going forth from the Charismatic or the Pentecostal Church. It's not going forth from the Nazarene Church. It is going forth from the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever it is, and whatever label happens to be upon it. And I'll begin to read in verse 10. Enter into the rock. Who's the rock? Enter into the rock. Hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Praise the Lord. Now, is that clear? Well, that's about as clear as you can be, isn't it? If what you're hanging on to is of men, it's going down. For the only thing that's going to be lifted up and exalted in that day is the Lord. Your confidence and your trust has got to be in the Lord. You may go to one town and you find a Baptist church that's really alive. That's a church of Jesus Christ. You go to another one over here, you find a Methodist church that's on fire for Christ. You go over here and you find a church of Christ that's on fire for the Lord. You go over here and you find a charismatic church or a Pentecostal church. You've got to find Jesus, not the denomination. I was raised a Presbyterian. I had never been born again. We moved all over the country, and I can remember when we moved to Chicago, 1969. We went to the large Presbyterian church in the suburb there, and I knew enough about the Word of God, even though I wasn't born again, that this man was not preaching the Word of God. He was preaching that which was convenient. And so we began to look for another Presbyterian church. We went all over that area looking for a Presbyterian church, because as far as I was concerned, the only church there was a Presbyterian church. Amen, Lois? Yeah. And she suffered through that. Because I was Presbyterian through and through. I mean, if you would bleed me, I'd bleed Presbyterian blood. I mean, I know what this is like. Kept me dead. I'd have split hell wide open if I'd have died. But the Presbyterians thought I was some kind of great leader in the church, pillar. God has spewed me out of his mouth. But I was still dead in my sin. I've never been born. We couldn't find a Presbyterian church. So we went and found a little Bible church that was for real. But since it wasn't Presbyterian, I wouldn't join it. I know what kind of spirit I'm talking about. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I deal with it daily in my ministry. The lofty looks of men and the haughtiness of men will be bowed down and humbled, and only the Lord will be exalted in that day. Verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains and all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower and upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish and upon all pleasant pictures. For the loftiness of men shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. You will not have to worry about what a kind of church you're going to attend in heaven. You will not have to make that decision there. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Verse 22, cease ye from man. Stop putting your confidence in man or in men's institutions whose breath is in his nostrils. In other words, when he dies, he's gone. He can't help you. For wherein is he to be accounted for? I'm burdened this morning, concerned this morning, for a great many people who have their confidence in man and in man's institutions. When it's all said and done, all of that will fall apart. There's only one thing that you've got that's eternal, that will not change, and that is the rock. That is Jesus Christ. It is not wrong for you to be a Baptist. It is not wrong for you to be a Methodist. It is not wrong for you to be any one of 100 or more different flavors of Christian. But it is wrong for you to be a Baptist first. And it's wrong for you to be a Nazarene first. And it's wrong for you to be a Catholic first. You say, well, I'm not. I'm a Christian first. What's your motivation for service? What do you give yourself to? Do you give it to your church? Or do you give it to the Lord through your church? Where's your heart? That's what I want to say this morning. Where's your heart? Is it attached? Is it anchored to the Lamb of Calvary? Are you one with other Christians, regardless of their label? Or are you divided? If you're divided, you either have an idol in your life or you're carnal, operating in the flesh. As long as you operate in that way, you'll never feed on the meat of God's Word. You'll do nothing but drink milk. Oh, you'll die, you go to heaven, you're saved. But you'll never walk in the fullness of God's Spirit. You'll never experience the joy, the fullness of your salvation. You'll never enjoy the things that accompany your salvation. We are not building here an empire. We are building the kingdom of God. I believe the Word of God condemns the spirit of denominationalism. I believe it is a weak substitute for the power of God. Let's pray.